40 hours devotion begins today with a solemn high mass this morning. The epistle for the votive mass today for 40 hours is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 11. Brethren, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke, and said, "Take ye and eat. This is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me." In like manner also the chalice, after he had supped, saying, "This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you shall drink for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink of the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord." And the Holy Gospel is taken from the sixth chapter of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to the multitudes of the Jews, "My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, the same also shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 18th chapter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. One day, a poor, unfortunate, and most sorely afflicted man was sitting on the side of the road when a crowd came up the street. Our Lord Jesus Christ was in the middle of this crowd as they walked toward him. All the man could do was guess what was happening. He could tell it was loud and there was a lot of people coming his way. But because he was blind, he couldn't see anyone. And so he asked out loud to those who could hear him, what was going on? They told him, St. Luke writes, that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And no sooner had the blind man heard this glorious news than realizing his misery and humbly believing that our divine Lord had power to relieve him and cure him of his infirmity, he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Sadly, the men who accompanied our Lord did not wish him to be interrupted, and so they rebuked the blind man and told him to be silent. But the poor man, with courage, cried out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And then Jesus paused in his way and moved with compassion, commanded the poor, suffering man to be brought to him. And when our Lord had come near to him, he asked him, "What wilt thou that I do to thee?" The poor man, with confidence, manifesting the desire of his heart, said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole." And St. Luke records that immediately he saw and followed him, glorifying God. My dear friends, what a glorious miracle our blessed Savior worked on that day for that poor blind man. In this blind man, we see a clear type of people who are blind in the sight of God because they purposefully close their eyes of their soul to the brilliant light of divine grace. The holy prophet David wrote of those who are blinded by their unholy passions in Psalm 113, which we chant each week in the divine office. We sing, "Oculos habent et non videbunt." They have eyes and see not. Unfortunately, this is the case with the vast majority of those people who know the truths of our holy religion, who understand the necessity of believing in our Lord and his commandments. And yet, at the same time, they refuse to practice what they believe. They are blind to our Lord. They do not see him. They refuse to see him. And why are they blind to the teachings of his church? Why are so many people blind to the commandments of God? Today, the world, the flesh, and the devil have gained so much sway over the hearts of men that they are easily carried away by their passions and sensuality, some by the sinful pleasures of the flesh, others by pride and vanity, and still others by an inordinate craving after wealth and luxury. They close their eyes to the light of God's holy inspirations, and they harden their hearts against the impressions made on them by the good example of their family members, of their friends. If the poor blind man in the Gospel of St. Luke, who was cured by our Lord, had failed to make use of the occasion when Jesus was walking down the road, we may believe that he never would have received his sight. If the blind man had listened to those, had given ear to the ones who would prevent him from calling upon the divine physician, our Lord himself, that man would have remained blind. And then, later on, he would have regretted not having asked our Lord for help. How sadly common this blindness is among people today. But what is more deplorable is that they refuse to ask our Lord for help. Many are blind like the blind man, but how few imitate what he did. When he heard that our Lord was passing by, what did he do about it? He cried out, "Lord, that I may see." And our Lord gave him his sight. Our Lord healed the blind man. He worked a miracle for him. Only on the last day will it be revealed to us the multitudes of those unhappy people who have not made use of those moments given them by our merciful Savior during life, who have obstinately refused to have the eyes of their hearts opened by his divine power, so that they might see what was good for their soul. What a day it will be when the whole world will see and know all those who purposefully blinded themselves to the light of heaven, all those who hardened their hearts against divine grace, the grace which warned them throughout life to quit their evil and sinful habits and return in humble contrition to our merciful Savior. Only when it is too late will they wish they would have cried out to our Lord, "Lord, that I may see." Today, my dear friends, we have the privilege to take part in the 40 hours adoration. Today, for the next 40 hours, our Lord will be close to us in the Holy Eucharist. And during this whole space of time, our divine Savior will be waiting for us to ask him, "Lord, that I may see." He waits for us because he wants to help us just as he wanted to help that blind man on the wayside. Our Lord told the people in the crowd around him who tried to get him to keep on going and to ignore him. Our Lord stopped the crowd because he wanted to help him. Our Lord told us this himself, "I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. I have come to call not the just, but the sinners to repentance." Our Lord was eager to help this man. And so he asked him, "What wilt thou that I do to thee?" To one degree or another, we are all blind. And just as our Lord wanted to hear what the blind man had to say, so too does our Lord want to hear our petitions. Each minute we spend with him over the course of the 40 hours adoration, while kneeling before his real presence in the Holy Eucharist, we should imitate the blind man and ask our Lord for the graces that we particularly need ourselves, that we may fully understand the delusions of the world, that I may know, we can say to our Lord, the dangers to my soul, that I may distinguish between good and evil, and see clearly that the path which leads to destruction and eternal misery is the wide road of unbridled pleasure, and that sincerely striving to avoid it, we can say to our Lord, I may walk in the narrow path of self-denial, which leads to everlasting life. We should say to our Lord as we kneel before him over the next few days, "Lord, that I may see," and perhaps understand my ingratitude towards a God of infinite mercy and kindness, who, to save me, were I the only one who needed to be saved, if I were the only one alive, he has delivered himself to be crucified for me, and who, to manifest his love for me even further, remains day and night, week after week, on our altar in the tabernacle. Sentiments, petitions such as these will draw our Lord's attention to us. He will look to us. He will see us. We will, like the blind man sitting on the side of the road, be calling out to Jesus, And he will say to us, as he said to him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath made thee whole." During these 40 hours adoration, then, our Lord says to us, "Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." He is calling us to have courage because he is with us. Implore the help of the Sacred Heart in the monstrance over the next few days. Go to him with faith. Ask him anything you stand in need of with unlimited confidence. And even as he stood still on that road on his way to Jerusalem and listened with mercy to the prayer of that poor blind man by the wayside, in the very same way will he attend to our prayers and petitions if it comes from a humble and contrite heart. Ask our Lord then over the course of the next 40 hours that he may grant you the particular grace of which you stand in need. And if you are searching for that grace, ask him and he will give you the grace to see it. May God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.